he stepped in this morning covering for Brother Cruz. It's one of those times that we've got a lot of folks gone, vacations and everything, and Brother Cruz got off here for a little while, and Chris stepped in, took care of the Sunday school this morning for me, and done a good job here for us this morning, and we appreciate that very much. And good to see a few folks visiting back. We had Bobby up here leading us in prayer, and Sister Gracie was in the choir, and I turned around and shake hands with her, and she just looked like she ought to belong there, and I didn't recognize who I was shaking hands with. I thought it was Connie, but anyway, they were both there. Amen. All right. Hey, cut me some slack. I've had a lot of birthdays. I want you to go to the book of Isaiah with me first this morning. Isaiah chapter 30. We'll read a few verses, and then we'll find a little bit of a parallel on the thought I want to preach on this morning, also in the New Testament. But in Isaiah chapter 30, we're going to get you over about verse 8 and jump in. I'm not going to have a lot of time to deal with the context. What you basically have, you have the nation of Israel not listening to the Lord, not trusting Him, not hearing His word, not putting their confidence in Him, but instead turning to a nation called Egypt, which is a great type of the world in the Bible. And they turn to Egypt for their hope and their trust and their military might and so forth. And the Lord is condemning them on that. And we pick it up in chapter 30 of Isaiah, verse 8. Verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way from aside, out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Just shut up about God's, what they were saying to the prophets and to the seers. Verse 12, here now is a word, wherefore. What's gone before, you take notice of. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. You're just sticking with it, he says. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. Now over there where they build cities and high walls, in fact they've had some concern over this around the Temple Mount in the last couple of years, a wall that's built up begins to break a little bit, and the pressure from the inside begins to swell it out. And God is using that for an example here, saying you can see that thing, you can see it building, you know it's building up, and sooner or later, it's going to burst. And when it bursts, it'll be suddenly. It'll be instant. And that's what he's saying about his judgment there coming upon the nation. Now, I want you to go to the New Testament with me and go to a familiar portion over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know the context. Paul introduces the gospel and the resurrection, and he also corrects some heresy. And he brings a great hope and the great victory of death that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of the resurrection. And that's in 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to look at it, and we'll just pick up about three verses for time's sake. In chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I want to bring your attention to verse 52, where it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I want to speak to you a little bit this morning on the subject, in a moment of time. Do you remember as kids trying to beg and convince and get something from an adult, like your mother maybe? And she didn't have time for you. She was in the kitchen. She was doing something more important. And you keep on nagging at her. And you know what she would often say? In a moment. In a moment. That was the longest moments when I was a kid. Truth is, a moment's not very long. But I used to think it was. Amen. In the context here, we see in 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to have a victory when the trumpet sounds. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to be so fast. And as you read the last verses of the chapter, it's declared our victory, and it is a victory. Victory over death. Victory in the Lord Jesus Christ coming back in a twinkling of an eye for those that belong to Him. Now, a lot of stuff is happening today, and it's happening very fast. Do you think all those people that went in to see the Batman movie was ready to die? Did they expect in a moment of time for a nut to come through a side door and start shooting them up? They didn't plan that. But in a moment, in a little while, instantly, something bad happened. We see that in the news all the time. Now, I'm not going to speculate on him. He had to be a nut somehow or another, brainwashed into a fantasy world, painting his hair red and playing the Joker or whatever he was doing. That's a terrible thing, but what I'm saying is it was a surprise. It happened quick. It happened in a moment. Terrible things often do. Accidents and all kind of things we recognize are happening that way. And God gives the illustration here at Isaiah of a wall just swelling out and building up. And finally breaking. I've done this before. Most of you that are mathematicians, you understand what the exponential curve is, don't you? I've got a small jar for you folks that can't see me from radio land. I've got a small jar in my hand. It's about half full of peanuts. Now, I'll let you imagine what happened to the rest of them, but here's about a half jar of peanuts. Now, I want you to play a game with me, and many of you know this. I want us to pretend that each one of those peanuts is a germ, a bacteria. Let's want to pretend that we put one in the jar, and it had the ability to multiply every so many seconds. Well, let's just use a minute to make it easy. Let's say that every minute, one of those peanuts, one of those germs, one of those bacteria is doubled. And doubled and doubled every minute. It doubled. Now let's imagine that here we are half full on the jar, and in 1 hour's time, they've gone from one germ, one peanut, they've doubled every minute, they've doubled, and now an hour's time, we've got a half jar full. Now don't answer out loud, but think in your mind. If it took an hour to get half full, when will the jar be full? Now, they're doubling every minute. Remember that. They're doubling every minute. Now we got a half jar. It took an hour to get to the half jar. When will we have a full jar? Now, answer the question in your mind. Did you say another hour? Anybody say that? That'd be wrong. Don't raise your hand if you said that. Say, well, 15 minutes. No, that'd be wrong. Don't raise your hand. Did you say the jar is half full, they've been doubling every minute, therefore in 1 minute, the jar will be full? That's called the exponential curve. And we see things happening today, and I think the wall's swelling out. I think the break's about to come. I think the exponential curve is about to happen. And while a lot of folks say, well, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, wait a minute. It may be closer than you think. And the truth of the matter is, God is warning the Jews about it here in Isaiah. And when it broke, brother. When the judgment came, it came. When Nebuchadnezzar came and the Jews reaped the judgment, it happened fast. And I want to say to you, he's telling us in 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I mean, so fast we can't measure it. We can be building up and the wall is swelling out and it's getting ready to burst, and it's going to happen a lot quicker than a lot of folks think. Now I want to make some application on this truth in some areas this morning, and I'm going to be right down to earth stuff you know about. To begin with, I want to say this truth happens all the time in the common events of everyday life. It happens with us. Sure it does. Let me ask you this. Did you ever get in trouble so quickly you didn't know hardly know how you got in it? You know what I'm saying? Things were normal. Things were going fine. Everything was right. You were at peace with everybody and everything and all, and you felt good, and all of a sudden, bang, how'd you get there? How quick it came. You think of a lot of things like that. Do you ever say this to yourself? I can't believe I done that. You ever say that? I remember a couple of fellows, one of them sitting over here. I don't think the other one's in here. They were over there painting the men's restroom during the summer when we were doing maintenance and stuff. And they painted the girls' restroom pink. Well, that's okay. But they were in kind of a hurry, and they went to the boys' restroom, and they didn't go change paint. They just kept painting. And I happened to walk over there, and one of them was up on the step ladder. I won't give you his initials, but his name's Phil Pitts. But he was up on top of the step ladder, and I walked over and saw they were painting the boys' restroom pink. Now, that might be politically correct, but not at Landmark, amen? Anyway, I walked over there, and I said, what are you guys doing? Well, we had this paint, and I got too close to the stepladder. You know how you set a gallon of paint up on that little ledge on the stepladder? I got too close. I was wearing those little old high-top boots, you know, the tops don't come tight to you, just little old boots like that. And as I walked up too close, Phil Pitts knocked that paint off. It hit me somewhere around the hip and ran down my leg and fill my boot up. So help me, and there's a witness right over here. Anyway, what do you say, you know? You run the pants, you run your sock, maybe run the boot. And I looked up at him and I said, I don't believe you done that. He said, I don't either, preacher. That was like on a Monday or Tuesday. When he got his check on Friday, I had took some of that pink and put a fingerprint right on that paint right on his paycheck. Now, you know what? He couldn't believe he done it. I couldn't believe he done it, but it happened that quick, in a moment. Funny accident, we might say. Not so bad, but how many bad things happen that way? How many times we just can't believe it happened? We done that. We knocked this thing over. We had this wreck. We sometime put our foot in our mouth just that quick and have regrets over it. Man, I remember one time back in my early days of getting into the hot rod racing, my friends and I, we had worked all night. We had finally got that car ready to take to the track, and time was running out, and I had a date with this girl, and I was so excited that I was going to get her to go to the racetrack and sit in the bleachers and watch me hopefully win a race. That was my plan. And I told my mechanics, you go with the car, I'll meet you at the track. I've got to go pick up so-and-so. And they said to me, you don't need to do that, you know, just a girl, this car is what's important. Now, I understood that, but I did have an inclination toward the girl, too. But I remember very clearly, I was pushing it, man. I finally got dressed and got by her house, and they were already heading to the track, and I pulled up and I got her in the car, and I was just full of what was going on, and I started bubbling over, and I said, boy, I worked so hard, and we finally, just at the last minute, I got to come by. And here's where I made my mistake. I said, my friends told me I didn't have time. I shouldn't have done it. Now, I thought I was doing great. Her countenance changed. She looked at me and said, if you don't have time for me, you just let me go back in the house. Boy, you talking about breaking fellowship in a hurry. She went back in the house. I said, what'd I do? Just that quick, things can go from bright to dark, from good to bad. In a moment of time, it can happen before you know it. And that's what God's telling us concerning his judgment here and concerning his return. You know, we still do this thing sometimes as adults, don't we? Instantly find ourselves in a trouble. Didn't plan on it. Didn't get up that morning asking for it. Didn't expect it to come. And then just like those folks that went to that theater out there, they didn't expect that crazy nut living in a fantasy world to come in and start shooting and killing them. But just that quick. Think about all the grief that's going on there now. Folks that just a few days ago had no such thing that this kind of tragedy could reach into my family. It always happens to somebody else. Always reading the newspaper, it was somebody else. It couldn't be me. But in a moment, it can be. It can be. Now, I look around today and see the crisis of our day, and brother, we are in a crisis day. I look around today and I see the world in limbo. I mean, we're in what we sometimes refer to as catch-22 situations between a rock and a hard place, and nobody seems to have the right answers as we look around today. I don't have to describe it for you. We got a crisis of immigration in America. Our borders are open, and we can't survive what we're doing, folks. No nation ever has survived open borders. Go back and read your history and find out what happened to the great kingdom of Rome when the Huns began to come in and when the general mass of the people thought everything was fine, but leadership with their foreign wars and everything else was letting home base run down. And the next thing you know, the enemy just came in. We look out there, and I feel sorry for the folks in the government out in Arizona trying to do what the federal government will not do for them. Did you see recently where they've even closed down some of the guard posts on the border out there? And our Washington, D.C. is suing Arizona, and in particular, suing Sheriff Joe, that's trying to stand up out there and enforce the law that the federal government will not enforce. That's a crisis thing. This cannot keep going on. We cannot continue to bring folks across the border with the enticement that if you get over here, you get free food stamps. If you get over here, we give you free hospitalization. If you get over here, we'll give you a welfare check. Hey, no wonder that's continuing to happen. Now, I'm for every one that crosses the border, the Canadian border, the Mexican border, any other of our borders legally and correctly and right. But I do not believe we can survive as a nation if we keep this policy up. Look at the crisis of our day. Immigration, the debt, and the economy, you know, it's all in the news, and I hate to talk about it because you hear it all the time. But it's going to come to a head. The wall is swelling out. It's going to break. It's going to happen in a moment. The debt, how many of you know that if our Obamacare plan goes through, the health plan, so-called, that if you sell your house, you're going to pay an extra 3.8 sales tax on it? That's right. As soon as the bill goes right on through, 2013, that means if you sold a house for $100,000, you'll pay $3,800 on it. Means if you sold a house for $400,000, you'll pay $15,200 on it. Tax. Now the realtors know about it. They're fighting it. They're trying to stop it. But you see what we're doing, folks, is we're getting to the place that you don't own your own business. You didn't build your own business. It belongs to everybody else. And so if you made anything, give it to us and we'll spend it for you. That's a crisis in government. That's a crisis in economy. Democracy's fall is apparent everywhere you look. That's what happened in Rome. It was free bread. Here it's free food stamps. And I'm not for against the poor getting food stamps, but I'm against the abuse of it. And the abuse is big. You see, in the beginning, America wasn't a democracy. It was a republic. We pledged the flag over there to the republic for which it stands. When Ben Franklin walked out of the Continental Congress, a woman asked him, "Mr. Franklin, what have you given us?" He said, "I've given you a republic if you can keep it." He said more than that. I don't know if I can get the quote just right. He said, a democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what they're going to have for lunch. Ben Franklin said that. Let me fix it a little bit. In a republic, in liberty, in a free nation, we got two wolves and a lamb, but the lamb's well-armed and he's contesting the vote. Did you get what I just said? Now, this Colorado thing out there, you watch it. They're going to jump on the guns because they got a UN treaty up there that's about to be signed by the president and Hillary, and they're going to sign away your Second Amendment rights to the UN. We're in a bad place, folks. So that's politics. No, that's common sense. That's defending the Constitution and what we were as Americans. Yeah, wars on the horizon. Iran, Russia, Syria, missiles, all that business. You know, I read in the book of Revelation chapter 17, 18, 18 in particular, that when the missiles fly, the big city, the Babylonian city, the harlot on the beast is going to be destroyed in 1 hour. That's pretty fast. I was reading some stats where that from the time the warning goes off and they decide to retaliate with missiles, that the missiles will come out of the ground and they will hit any, from America or from Russia, in any nation on this globe, and they'll do it in less than an hour. In fact, the missile, once it gets in the air, is only 8 to 10 minutes flying time. You say, oh, preacher, nobody will ever pull the trigger. Who are you kidding? You think they built them for a 4th of July show? No, they're going to use them. They're going to happen. How you know they're going to happen? Because the Bible says so. And there's going to be some cities destroyed in an hour or less. I tell you what, just the city on seven hills, which is Rome, and some folks think it's New York. New York's probably on the list also. It's under the aim right now. But that's going to happen because the Word of God says so. When's it going to happen? In a moment when you think not. In a time when you don't expect it. In an instant. But it's building. Don't you see the wall swelling? Don't you see the break in the concrete? It's building. It's building. It's going to happen one of these days. Or it'll be normal just before it happens, before the disaster happens. I'll tell you something else. In the crisis we're in today, we see building. We're there because of lack of morals and Bible truth being cast aside. That's why we're there. Truth's been lost. Do you see it here in verse 2 of Isaiah 30? I'm not that far out of context. If you look right at verse 12. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel. Now here's why it's happening. It's got the word because. Because. What's the cause of it happening? Because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness. Look at here. I'm holding up a Bible. That's the Word of God. You know what's wrong with America today? They've started despising the Word of God. They will no longer listen to it. They no longer believe God. And God says when you do that, you are going to reap in judgment. And what we are reaping today in all the economy and the wars and everything else, we've gotten away from the Word of God. And God says in a moment, don't you see the break coming? Don't you see the wall swelling? That's what he's saying. We're going to see the results. We're seeing the results today where we look in despising God's word. I mean, some of you grew up when the program on TV said, leave it to Beaver. Yeah. And Beaver, oh, there was a principle, there was a moral, there was a clean show, and it taught a truth. Those truths would line up with what was right and wrong in the Word of God. Leave it to Beaver. Now we leave it to what? Beavis and Butthead? That's where we've gone. That's where we've moved to. We grew up, some of you did, watching the Andy Griffith Show, and you've heard he died recently. But Barney Fife, old Barney, a man, you couldn't help but like Barney Fife. We've gone from Barney Fife to Barney Franks. You know who Barney Franks is? He was a queer up there in Washington, D.C. They kept electing and sending back to spend your tax money. That's who Barney Franks was. I mean, when you have a nation that condones that like we're condoning it, see right now, not only the gay marriage thing, but everywhere you look, they're after Chick-fil-A this week because Chick-fil-A will close on Sunday. And they say marriage is one man, one woman. So the gays are after them, so-called gays. They've ruined the good word there. The homosexuals are after them because they say they discriminate. You ought to discriminate against some things. Some things that God calls abomination. Some things that God says is dirty and wrong. Yeah, we ought to discriminate. Truth of the matter is, though, we've moved from God's word. We're despising God's word. We're turning our back on what God said was right. Now, I'm saying to you, as we apply this truth in a moment, we can apply it to the things that happen to us in life. We can apply it to the crisis, and I could go on and on about the crisis we know about, but the whole problem is we've despised God's word on it. Everybody's opinion but God's. That's what we have going on in our country today. But I want to say this, you can also apply this moment in a moment and be in context in 1 Corinthians 15 to Christ's return in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, in context in an instant. Jesus warned us to watch. He said, watch ye therefore, you know not what hour the Son of Man cometh. He warned us to watch. You know, as a preacher, I've been watching a long time. I've been preaching about it a long time. I've been seeing the wall swell out, ready to burst. I'll never forget, right after, I believe Sonia and I had just got married or just before, I had taken a job driving a dump truck. We were working on a Saturday on a herd up job. So I believe it was just after we got married. And God has given me, and many of you men have the same thing, just a little bit of understanding of the law of physics. Just a little bit of a thing that we know there's a cause and effect to everything. Some folks, I don't see that they even have that, but I do. I can know that if something goes up, it's coming down, can't you? I mean, can't you see the result of certain actions are going to happen? Laws of physics. I was driving that truck, and as I'd bring my load in, they were putting in a great fill base of sand inside of a big foundation with a wall built around it. And they had a young man I knew that was running the bulldozer, pushing the dirt back in. Well, the wall was half as high as this ceiling. And as I would dump the load, I would notice he's pushing it further back, and he's pushing it further back, and he's pushing it further. I'd come back with another load, he's pushing it further back. And I realized there was no backup behind that wall. And so finally I stopped the truck. I got out and found whoever was in charge, and I said, look, you can't keep pushing that dirt against that freestanding block wall. The machine is vibrating, the dirt is building up, the pressure is building up on the wall. But what does a dump truck driver know? So I got back in my truck, shut up my mouth, and kept hauling. Directly. In a moment. Almost in the twinkling of an eye, that wall went down. And man, what a crisis it created. Now, common sense. Common sense, you can't push dirt against a freestanding wall too long with a vibrating bulldozer. Something's going to give. And as I hear the news today, I'm telling you, something's going to give. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we think it's going all right, and boom, something's about to happen. Do you understand that? Now, Christ is going to return the same way. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he said, in such an hour as you, what? Think not. The Son of Man cometh. Such an hour as you think not. I'm watching things today build up. I mean, suddenly, it'll be time up. It's gone. I marvel, folks, I really do, at the long-suffering and patience of God. I flip over to 2 Peter chapter 3 and read verses you're familiar with, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Now, let me ask you something. God's made us a lot of good promises, but he's also made promises of judgment. And the promise of judgment is that it will happen. It will come. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to say something to you. If you're not saved today, you've never trusted Christ, God's long-suffering with you. He don't want you to perish. He don't want anybody to. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all, how many? All should come to repentance. If you stand before God lost, you stand without excuse. He's been long-suffering with you. I'm glad he was long-suffering with me. I'm glad he let me come into a church and hear the gospel, because a teenage girl was faithful to her testimony for Jesus and said, if you want to date me, we'll go to church. That's how I heard the gospel. God was long-suffering to let me live 22 years and then walk in a church and hear the good news that Jesus saves. Oh, yes, thank God. But I want to say, I've preached to a lot of folks that have walked in and heard and walked out and walked in and heard and walked out and walked in and heard and walked out. They're trying to use up God's grace, God's mercy, God's long-suffering. They're trying to use it up. My friend, it will have an end. And when it comes to an end, it'll come in a moment. It'll come suddenly. It'll come in an instant. Jesus is going to return. The trumpet could sound. Your time to be saved could be over. How much more are you sending him a message every day that you're rejecting him, his love, the gift of salvation bought and purchased and paid for all the way by his son? The world today is slapping God in the face, spitting in his face everywhere. Did you even see in the news where this atheist bunch, and you're hearing more and more out of them, that they had a couple of ball teams going to play, and the one team could not play because they had whatever the name was, Baltimore Saints or Boston Saints or something. And they had that on their shirts, Saints. So the atheist group sponsoring the ball game made them take the S off. So now they were playing the Aints instead of the Saints. Funny, they made a joke out of God. Can't have anything that make you think of God, because we say God ain't. So we'll play the Aints, but we won't play the Saints. You wait till the Saints go marching in, brother. You got another side to that coin, amen? Yeah. You mock him now. God said he'll laugh when your calamity cometh. Yeah. God's going to have the last laugh. God says that he is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And amen. The truth is, we see a mocking world today like it was in the days of Noah. And it seems to be even getting worse. But you know what? God says it'll happen in a moment. I don't know what you said. I don't know what you said a while ago about the jar, whether you picked it to double in an hour or double in 15 minutes. But since they were all doubling in 1 minute and the jar was half full, then it only took 1 minute for it to be full. That's all it took. Just 1 minute in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's full. It's full. The truth is, today, to walk out of here without Jesus Christ as your Savior is presuming that you've got time when you don't have. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the wall is bulging out, the break is there, and then it's let's loose. Hey, you didn't come here today by accident. God wanted you to consider. You come in here thinking, I got lots of time, and down the road I'll probably become a Christian. Down the road I'll trust Christ. My friend, you have no guarantee that you're going to get anywhere down the road. It can happen in a moment. The jar is full. Time is up. The trumpets sound, and Jesus has come back. Just that serious, just that real, and just that quick. I like to say to you today, God has a right to judge you lost and send you to hell forever if you continue to reject His Son that died for your sins and paid the price for you, shed the blood you heard them singing about a while ago to cover your sins. I ask you today, is He your Savior? If you're not going to accept Him today, when are you? How do you know you're going to get that far down the road? It can happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now is the time of salvation, the Bible says. Today is the day of salvation. Your moment, your short moment, maybe this morning, in the next few minutes. Let's bow our heads.